sure by now your blood pressure's in check and your heart rate is resting a lot more comfortably. Big victory for the Riders on the weekend, off to the Grey Cup. And, of course, later today, you can be part of their send-off, 3:30, the west side of the stadium near the Reed Lancaster statues. If you want to give them a wave, I'm sure they'd love to see you there. No school today, tomorrow. Some parents choosing to take today off to extend the weekend. Might be for childcare or just thought, why not? But hopefully, too, you remember the whole meaning of tomorrow, Remembrance Day. And joining me now is Reed Hill from the Royal Canadian Legion Branch Number 1. Joins me on the phone. Good morning, Reed. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Greg.
I appreciate
it's a little early, but it's okay.
I appreciate your time, that's for sure. Hey, how have poppy sales gone this year so far? Is there a final tally yet or still too soon?
It's too soon. We don't usually start doing the tally till the day after Remembrance Day. So
have a lot of people been using TAP to purchase? Have you seen a lot of action purchasing poppies this year?
Oh, yeah. Like, I was even down at the Rider game just before the game, and everyone was kind of, it was a mix between TAP and cash. But TAP's been a big thing. Last couple of years, it's been $1 or $2. Now we got a $5 TAP machine.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
It does. It really does.
Reed, I've had a few people comment to me just in passing over the last week or so that they don't feel that as many are wearing poppies. You're in the mix of it all. What's your thought?
I mean, it's kind of maybe it just fell off, but I haven't seen a change from the majority still wearing poppies. You know, you still see the odd person or odd group of people that don't, but I would still say majority of people by now have had a chance to get their poppy. So, I don't know, it's who you see every day, right?
Right, yeah. How does the money raised help?
It can help from anything, from direct assistance to veterans, whether or veterans and their families, to from basic needs to paying a gas bill, all the way up to some of that money went to help the forest fires in the north last year. And then we have programs from our Leave the Streets Behind program that helps homeless vets, to bursaries for, you know, students or current serving members who are wanting to go to school and utilize those programs. So every little dollar helps help a veteran or help a veteran's family, you know, receive the care that they don't always get from the government.
Reed Hill from Legion Branch Number 1, a number of services tomorrow. Do you want to let everyone know what's going on?
Okay, so tomorrow the main service that everyone knows about is the Branch Center, so you don't want to get there right around the 10 mark. You want to be a little early because parking's always a problem. But if you want a more personalized ceremony, the other major ceremony happens down at the Cenotaph. And they both start right around that 10 mark and go till, well, you know, right around that little past 11. And so for each ceremony, you kind of want to be there as early as possible. For those that are participating in wreath laying down at the Cenotaph, you might want to be there a little bit earlier so you can, if you haven't already brought your wreath home, so you can get your wreath from the branch if you right. decided to leave it at the branch.
Reed, back in, I think it was about 2018, it was my pleasure to host a bit of a radiothon with my old pal Woodsy back then, and we helped raise over 30 grand in 3 hours to help keep the lights on. So that was, like, I think, 6-7 years ago now. How is the Legion Hall holding up and surviving?
The Legion's in a pretty good position now. So it's not really about keeping the lights on anymore. It's about growing and, you know, expanding what we do and, you know, the odd general maintenance thing. But we have some partnerships, but we're always looking for more that, you know, help keep the lights on for that purpose and keep us so that we can keep funding the charity arm of the fund so that veterans are served in our city and surrounding area.
Well, so long as we're staying afloat, that's great. Can you give us some sense, Reed, on how the Legion branch intends to mark the 100th anniversary next year?
So I'm not allowed to say too much till January 1st, but what I will say is we'll be making our way to celebrating it right around the December mark, because our actual anniversary for our branch happens to be the same time as the poppy campaign, so I'm not going to do it around then. So we'll be looking towards a December date, and it is going to be a party. to celebrate the Legion, but it's not going to be. I'll give more details when I'm allowed to. How about
okay.
that?
All right, Reed. Thanks for your time and bringing us up to date on Legion Hall number one. It's important that we spread the word of the importance of wearing a poppy, and in particular, if you can, please, one of those services tomorrow. Thank you yep. so much for the update, Reed.
And thank you, Greg.
Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJME newsroom. Kevin, you can drive right through 11th today.
Finally, no mystery routes or wondering, where do I turn? Where do I go? 11th Ave, reopen from Broad to Albert. The project's not done yet, though. Done for this construction season, Greg.
Well, when you go through it, you see a lot of wider sidewalks showing, smoother roads. A lot of businesses along there, grateful that it's reopening. But it is, in some parts, a temporary road and sidewalk repair, right? Because they're coming back in the spring. It's not finished. And some of the comments on my CJME Morning Show Facebook page were curious if, when they look at that picture that shows some of the temporary patches, if it was finished by Lightning McQueen from Cars.
Woo-hoo! I'm the first one on the new road!
It looks awful.
Well, it matches the rest of the town.
Oh, no. That sounds like Luke from TSM when he came looking down there at 11th Avenue. But yeah, sure, it does look kind of patchy in some spots, but they're coming back. It's not done yet.
Yeah, and it seems like it's, you talked about the wider sidewalks. That's something that we're seeing on Dewdney as well. By the rail yards, wider sidewalks. I know they've talked about wanting to redo Sass Drive and put in wider sidewalks. So it seems like the city has a clear message from people that they want more pedestrian-friendly areas where people can actually get on the sidewalk and roll or walk throughout the city more.
All right. And incidentally, the mayor was on the show last week, said Dewdney between Albert and Broad. It's going to be a few more weeks yet. They're going to take advantage of the weather. Still a few odds and ends there. Okay. Well, how's your heart rate? How was your blood pressure Saturday night? Probably like everyone else.
Well, and I mean, I think, like watching at home as well, I think I was doing what everybody else was doing and, putting into call that field goal. You know, like the call of the field goal, going for the 3 points and hoping that it didn't backfire. It didn't because, and we've heard this, Coach Mace, he put his faith in his team, in his defense to make a big stop, two and out. And then, the offense to come through.
And Belton Johnson was with me earlier on the show, and he and I both were screaming at the television. Like when they were 5 yards out, I had no idea why they weren't handing the ball to Ouellette. Okay, the first one, try for the end zone.
Yeah.
Then Ouellette was having just an awesome game, and then out, and then the field goal. But, man, they knew what they were doing, I guess.
And here we go. For the first time, in 12 years, we are back in the Grey Cup.
Remember that last Montreal Grey Cup?
Oh, I certainly do.
Do you want to refresh our memories?
Yeah, well, I remember I was living in Calgary. I wasn't at the game because it was in Calgary that year, watching at home, and just my jaw dropped when we had the 13th man call, the too many men on the field call, and it was a redo. And I mean, everybody knows
watching that moment, literally standing, drinks in hand, with a bunch of people from Saskatchewan and across the Western Prairies, outside of what was then known as the Imperial Palace, right across from Caesar's Palace on the Strip.
No,
they had screens outside, and they were showing it from somebody's laptop or computer, so you'd see the little arrow just refresh every now and then.
Time for redemption, Greg.
Yeah.
Because not only 2010, but 2009 as well.
It's going to happen. They're going to win. They're going to win in Winnipeg. It's going to be awesome. CJME News Time now is 6:58. Well, we're still talking about it. What a finish.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Tommy Neal! 11 seconds to go!
And what a game. Rider fans of all ages felt Saturday night that their heart rate may never come back to normal.
Probably the best night I've ever had as a Rider fan in a very, very long time.
Well, I'm really happy they won. When the moment shines, the brightest you will perform.
Oh, I still am out of breath from that ending.
They finally let the dogs out.
Man, it was just an incredible game. The post-game comments on the Green Zone with the crew was fun to listen to. Everyone was pretty jacked up about it. And joining me now before he packs his bags to head off to Winnipeg is Jamie Nye, whose resting heart rate is a lot more comfortable this morning than it was Saturday night, I'll bet, my friend.
Oh, my goodness, Greg. That was insane. I'm almost still speechless. I know that's not good for a radio host, but, man, I did not see that coming.
Oh, I think like everyone else, screaming at the top of her lungs, questioning what was going on at times. But your commentary today mentions how the God Center got it right for us and didn't interfere. You're sure it was a catch as I am, right, for Tommy Neal? Because there was 100%. Nothing really conclusive video-wise to say otherwise.
100%. The Amar Doman and Ryan Rigmaiden should be fined by the Canadian Football League for sharing a blurry, ugly photo and trying to make this something. When you look back at the video that correlates with that still image, which I did, when that image hits, you can clearly see in the video that the ball is behind his upper hand and it's nowhere near the ground. It's his elbow that they circle pertaining to be the ball. Like, it's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke that the Lions did that. Anyways.
Agreed. Good catch there, too.
Let's celebrate the Riders.
Hey,
what a performance. What a team.
And the coach knew better. I believed in his defense. But let me talk about those final moments, because everyone else is choosing to kick a field goal for three. That defensive stand, awesome. But before the field goal, I'll ask you, because I belted on earlier, and both of us were screaming to run the ball with Ouellette at least once. Were you surprised when they didn't at least hand the ball to him after that first toss attempt failed?
Yeah, I was thinking they were going to try to run it in right from the hop, first down. Let's go. Let's pile it in and then get closer and pile it in. And then I was thinking about Tommy Stevens. But then as I went through it I was doing it live on the show almost. I was like, Tommy hadn't touched the ball all game. It's cold. The football is slippery. He hasn't got a snap yet. And I was like, okay, mate, that's probably Corey's, like, let's not put that out there and then have the third stringer fumble the ball or something ridiculous. So when you go through it, and then he believed in his defense. That's why he kicked the field goal. If he would have gone it opposite, that would have been a tie game. We'd be playing overtime. Or, you know, if he gets that touchdown, couldn't you imagine what they're playing for next? Is Brett Laudy to come on the field and kick a game-winning field goal. So,
yeah. Well, Coach knew best, and we're happy about that this morning. Honestly, the West and East final were amazing finishes. Montreal winning with a 45-yard field goal, beating Hamilton 19-16. At the end of that game, Davis Alexander, Montreal quarterback, hobbling from a hammy, and he's going to be in rehab all week. But this is the first big storyline for Cup Week, isn't it? McLeod Bethel-Thompson, if he's not ready, he might step in, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a major, major storyline. That first practice day that's open for the Montreal Alouettes, Britton Gray will be watching very closely on which quarterback is throwing the ball and where is Davis Alexander. It's going to be cold weather with a hamstring injury. He's been battling that hamstring injury all year. I just don't see it. Like, I see him playing, but I just don't see him being 100% healthy.
Well, he's only effective if he can be mobile, right? He's a lot like Rourke that way. He likes to dip out of the pocket. If he has to stand there, I don't think we're going to see him too long there. But, hey, interesting, too. During the regular season, Thompson is who the Riders faced, right? This is our first face-to-face.
Before anybody gets too excited, it was McLeod Bethel-Thompson who put up 48 points against this team. 2 months ago,
yeah,
when everybody was like, this team's not a Grey Cup contender, they can't even beat McLeod Bethel-Thompson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, Jamie Downer, stop that.
No, you're all right. Don't get too far ahead of yourself on that. It's a guaranteed win or something like that.
Jamie, how's the Green Zone planning on covering Cup Week? What do we need to know?
Well, we will be heading out to tomorrow And the show will be live all week long. Some special show on Saturday, a Grey Cup Saturday show. And then, of course, the Green Zone pregame show, 3 o'clock on Sunday, the postgame show. We will have you covered. Wall-to-wall coverage, Grey Cup week. Here we go. Can't wait.
Let's do it.
I don't think I've ever said can't wait to get to Winnipeg, but this would be a moment. Can't wait to get to Winnipeg.
Can't wait for your coverage either, Jamie. Nice work, as always. Thank you, my friend.
Right on, Greg.
Ryderville is happy this morning, and I can't wait. I'm interested in hearing how these two clubs, the Riders and Montreal, chirp at one another through the week here. Trevor Harris, prior to the Lions game, very confident.
I'm not here to talk about Nathan Rourke. I think it's our time.
It's our time. And then, of course, during that game Saturday night, when Rourke hits the end zone, he looks straight in the camera.
Let's go! Let's go! Come on! What a play. Come on! It's our time!
I wonder if Harris will be as eager to say something before the Grey Cup like that, because they clearly had it in the locker room of the BC Lions that night. Joining me is Brent Lokes, who's filling in for Evan Bray. What do you think about that? Do you think there'll be a little less chirping before the Cup?
I don't know what it's going to be like, but I think Trevor Harris is probably at a confidence level unlike anything we've ever seen before. You know, this is going to be his big opportunity here, and I think this is going to be a fabulous lead-up this week. And, of course, we've got the big send-off coming up this afternoon over at Mosaic for the boys packing up and heading down the road to Winnipeg. This is going to be just a fabulous week, Greg. And I got to tell you, first in my household on the weekend, we had some friends over on Saturday. We were watching the game while we were eating, and so it was chatting, and, you know, we got a little distracted. So last night, my wife said, let's watch the game again. So we flip on TSN and find the replay, and we watched it again, and it was just so awesome to be caught up in that again. And there is something to be said for watching a game when you already know the outcome. I found my stress level was a lot lower watching it the second time.
Well, I got to ask you, because everyone else is talking about, you know, going for the field goal at that moment. What were you screaming at your television as armchair quarterback?
I don't know that I was screaming so much. It was just one of those situations where you think, I got to believe the coach knows what he's doing. I got to believe the players are going to be at their best here. I know I was in a pretty sedate kind of way. I was good with it. I was good with it.
Okay. Well, you're filling in for Evan Bray today. What can we expect?
Well, we're going to be talking a lot about football, of course, as it was an amazing football weekend, not only for our Riders, but university, junior football, high school football, just a fabulous weekend right across Saskatchewan. Remembrance Day coming up tomorrow. I've got three or four different segments dealing with topics related to Remembrance Day. And you might like this. The Spice King of Canada, Mike Jack, has 20 Guinness World Book records. He's a competitive chili pepper eater. I have no desire to follow in his footsteps, but he's going to join us and talk about what he does and the Hot Ones Challenge.
That'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm a mild guy. I'm not a big hot pepper guy, so that wouldn't be for me. But interesting show, of course. Brent, I look forward to you back here at 8:30. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
Brent Lokes filling in for Evan Bray today at 7:27.